It's an end! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Let me make something very clear. We work 24-7, Aaron Raybould and I, on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Beware of people that always tell you how hard they work. That's my motto. What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, usually the best people won't say anything about it. They just do it.
Yeah. Well, we got a good one tonight. And let me lay this out for you tonight. And again, it's always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-780-3776 is our call-in number. But John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, you contact them at 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, 18-wheeler. They will have you covered. 713-322-HURT, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Okay, let me lay this out tonight because we got an incredible show here. This is jam-packed with a lot of stuff here tonight. We will get to the Dynamo. Todd Ramos is coming up in the next segment. We will talk to him about potential player signings during the window. We will talk to him about the future under Ted Siegel and where he sees the team right now and where he sees it going in the future and the club. So a very, very good interview with Todd Ramos coming up in the very next segment. We will then go to the head coach of El Salvador. Now, we all know El Salvador. You've heard me talk about them for many years, about their pro league, corruption. Well, El Salvador in the Gold Cup right now are in the quarterfinals. They will take on Qatar on Saturday. El Salvador's head coach is Hugo Perez, the former U.S. international. Hugo Perez has taken them to wins over both Guatemala, Trinidad, and Tobago. And then you saw the game against Mexico where they pushed Mexico in the second half for 45 minutes. They're in the quarterfinals Saturday against Qatar, who was based here in Houston in Honduras's group. Now, let's face it. We had these massive crowds here in Houston because of the Hondurans. It's nothing new. We know this. We know they'll come out for their national team, which leads me to Alex Benegas of Acción Central America, and he will join me in the second hour, and we will talk about these big Honduran crowds. We'll talk about the Gold Cup, all the excitement that's going on in it, whether Canada's going to rise, what El Salvador could possibly do. But then we'll also talk a little bit about, again, this age-old subject, how do we get the Hondurans and the Salvadorians to engage in the MLS product? And that's a big issue because it's never happened. And you have to say, what have we been doing all these years? What are we doing? And I see all these events. I saw the CONCACAF event and, I saw the event down at Pitch 25 with Chris Canetti and Brian today, Brian Ching, a painting event. I have no understanding of why they don't invite all kinds of soccer people from the community to these things and bring these people in the room, some of the builders of the game, and just with two or three brief sentences, just say, hey, thank you very much for what you've done to build the game here. Because Dynamo got here in 2006. There was a lot going on. And then you weave more people into the excitement of this whole thing and World Cup 2026. And I don't understand it. It's almost like it's a closed shop. Open it up to everybody. You can bring people to these events. You can highlight people. You can pat them on the back. And this is how you grow a soccer community. All right, let me get off my soapbox. I'm off it. And you know what? I should get Chris on the show. How about that? 713-780-3776. Preaching a little bit here. Saturday, Qatar, El Salvador, Mexico, Honduras. There's people that can help, though. Sunday, Costa Rica, Canada, U.S., Jamaica. That's up in Arlington, Texas, AT&T Stadium. Gold Cup's going to really, really heat up. Qatar has been very, very interesting as well. Olympics, say it ain't so. Sweden beat the U.S. women 3-0. The Olympics in Japan, wow, it's turned into a socially distanced, very, it's like the country doesn't really want it, to be honest with you. There's a lot of backlash in Tokyo to even having it staged. If you remember, Toyota pulled out of it as well. So still goes on. And today, Rick Carlson in Brazil put a beat down on Germany on the men's side. Are you interested in Olympic soccer? Let me know, 713-780-3776. After Euros, Copa America, MLS, everything going on there, are you interested in Olympic soccer? Are you watching it? 713-780-3776. So the Dynamo will be in action on Saturday as well as the Dash. Houston Dynamo will take on San Jose. So they're going out to San Jose, Tab Ramos and company. He'll address the San Jose Earthquakes in the next segment. Just a reminder about the Dynamo right now. After the draw against Vancouver, they're 3-4-7, 16 points. They're ninth in the West. But remember, they're only 2 points out of the playoffs, despite being 0-4-4 on the road. So they got to turn some of these ties into wins, and that's why we're going to ask about, you know, is a game changer going to come to this club, to Tab, and kind of get his future. Now, what I will say about him, he is going about this methodically. This isn't throw a bunch of stuff at the wall. And to be honest, to turn this thing around, you do have to go about it methodically. And I'm a big fan of what he's trying to accomplish here. Now, the key in this will be Ted Siegel and his investment both on and off the field. He seems very ambitious. And I will tell you this about Ted. For all of you who are, you know, disgruntled, beaten down, tired, fatigued, who have dropped season tickets, who've left supporting the Houston Dynamo, that's not Ted Siegel's fault all these prior years. Ted deserves a clean slate. You can't blame what's happened in the past on Ted Siegel. He gets a clean slate. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. You got some tremendous leadership with Tab Ramos. And I won't get too into detail on all of that, but I think some things, despite the draws and some of the things that we relate in the context of a lot of dormant years here since really 2013, you can't lay that on the new guy who's trying to rebuild things. And the new guy can't rebuild things without a unified soccer club, and that's front office, competitive side, youth side, all of that. It can't happen. And that's why I'm saying when we do these events in the community, representing the Gold Cup, you know, doing a thing, painting soccer balls at a bar. Bring people down there. Bring some of the past people that have put their sweat equity into the game and not have the same people there all the time. Because to them, it's a big moment to be even slightly recognized. Invite them. I didn't even know this stuff was going on. And I got a soccer radio show for 17 years in this town. And I want the World Cup 2026 here as much as the next guy or gal. All right. So let me tell you a little bit about Qatar. Nobody knows much about Qatar, and they got the World Cup in 2022. They have a league. It's called the Qatar Stars League. It has 12 teams. It's promotion and relegation. It started in 1972. Now, my friend Hector Moreno of the U.S. men's national team was on this show when he was playing in Qatar, and he said, look, they were bringing people like myself here, players like myself, to mix in on these teams and help guide some of the Qatari players. Now, Qatar won the 2019 Asian Cup. They were invited to Copa America. They're doing well in this Gold Cup, and the reason they're here is because of, you know, exchange. You always get the host nation in a World Cup playing in some of these events in other places. Qatar Football Association was formed in 1960. Now, I learned something today. They joined FIFA in 1970. Soccer got to Qatar, and you'll know and understand this, simply around the time oil was discovered in 1940. So you had expat oil workers down there. What did they love? They loved soccer. And that's how Qatarian soccer got started. First time the national team played was in 1970. At a time when they were putting the national teams together, they were doing this thing of naturalizing Brazilians and different players. But now They're more focused on developing their own. So they're in the Asian Confederation. They're going to host the 2022 World Cup. Played in the 2019 Copa America. They have done referee exchanges, all kinds of different things to try and grow the sport at every level there, including the officiating side. So you've heard some of the names of the team: Al Rayyan, Al Sayed, Qatar Soccer Club, Al Garrafa. Al Garrafa is where Hector Moreno played, the Mexican national team center back who will be in action for Mexico against Honduras. Now, honestly, I think Mexico really got a tough draw getting Honduras. And we're going to ask Alex Benegas about the health of guys like Albert Elise, Ramel Quioto, and Minor Figueroa, who will play for Honduras against Mexico. But Honduras will be up for that game. Do not be surprised if there is an upset. Do not be surprised. You're hearing it here. That is dependent upon the health of the three guys I just mentioned. Sunday, it's Costa Rica and Ari Lassiter. Lassiter's got a goal and an assist. Canada with Tyler Pasher. This is wonderful for us as Dynamo fans. Not so wonderful for Tab Ramos because he doesn't have him available. Then you got the U.S. and Jamaica. And, of course, Darwin Serens on El Salvador. So when I bring on Hugo Perez, the head coach of El Salvador, next, we will ask him about Darwin Serens and how important he is to what is a young El Salvador right now. And he's got a lot of plans and ideas to try and turn the national team around, and that includes Salvadorians that are, here in the U.S., Salvadorian Americans, which there's many of them. So why not go the same route as Mexico? Mexico is recruited from the United States. El Salvador can do, without any doubt, the same thing. So they got a 2-0 win over Guatemala, 2-0 win over Trinidad and Tobago. They lost to Mexico 1-0, but I think that loss, more than anything, truly turned a lot of heads. No question about it. But El Salvador is quite the Gold Cup story right now. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. So the Dynamo will take on the Quakes this weekend. Dash will take on the Thorns. The Dynamo game, it'll be an 8:30 pregame show on Channel 55, then 9 o'clock from San Jose. It'll be the Dynamo against San Jose and Matias Almeida, a very, very interesting team. Last year we saw them lose games 5-6-0. Then, they turn it around when you think they're dead and buried. People are saying Almeida's got to go. This one-on-one, this very man-to-man type system that he puts out. I will say this, and I will ask Tab Ramos this. You're going to have to win your individual battles maybe a little bit more in this game against them than, say, another opponent in Major League Soccer just due to the uniqueness of the way they play the game. So that's an important one. That's Chris Wondolowski. Espinosa's one to keep an eye on. Chofis Lopez, another one. They had a 1-1 draw last night at Sporting Kansas City. They were up 1-0. Game ended tied. There was a controversial penalty that was not called on Johnny Russell. But that's a team that at home will be a little bit interesting. But look, they're no great shakes. They're a very beatable team, San Jose. And like any other game in Major League Soccer, dependent upon the night, teams morph into things that are different. They are 5 points out of the playoffs, San Jose, with a record of 3-7-4. And like the Dynamo, they have not won since all the way back in May. They're 2-4 at home. They've been beaten 4 times at home. Well, let's hope the Dynamo can do that as well to the San Jose Earthquakes. Okay, we're going to go more Gold Cup. Hugo Perez is coming up next. We will have him on the show. Couple of things right now. Tab Ramos. Hugo Perez will come after Tab. Tab Ramos is next. We're going to give out some Houston Dash tickets. You're going to have to give your email to producer Aaron Raybould extraordinaire. I'm going to give out 3 pairs during this next break to to caller number 2, 4, and 6. Pairs of tickets to Saturday's game against the Thorns, Houston Dash. Later on tonight, Gabby Seiler of the Houston Dash will be on the show. She had that wonderful free kick, her first ever professional goal. So we'll take a break right now. Before we go to break, a quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. There are our presenting sponsors. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. Any kind of accident you get in, their firm will handle you. 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. So a big thank you to John and his firm. Also, big night of Gold Cup talk on this. Gold Cup quarterfinals. This is good stuff coming up Saturday and Sunday. A lot of talk on this, and we're moving towards really kind of looking at what's happening in the quarterfinals, and now things are going to get exciting here in the knockout rounds. All right, we'll take a quick break. FM Kitchen and Bar takes us to break.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.
I'm Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
My great friend Jordi Sunyer of TV3 in Spain, he's brought some great reports about Barcelona to the show and La Liga. So Jordi sends me these pictures all the time of these unbelievably majestic bike rides he's taken through the mountains outside Barcelona. It's pretty incredible. All right, a quick word for here from my friends at Advantage BMW. I've leased, I've bought from them. I love the drive of a BMW. I've gotten into a 3, 5, now into an X5, so I'm graduating. I went up the scale, throw the bike in the back, the dog in the back, drive around. And when you get in the ultimate driving machine, you know it. When I travel and get a rental car and I come back and I get into my car, it's like I'm riding on a magic carpet. The other thing I love at Advantage BMW is the customer service. So go see Justin, go see Steven. It's second to none. They'll cover you. Sales, service, finance can be done very easy. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Again, it's Advantage BMW Midtown. That's the one to go to. Now, I have another quick word here for my good friends at FM Kitchen and Bar. FM Kitchen and Bar now has a new location in the Montrose area, by the way. It's near Montrose and Westheimer. It's right next to Velvet Tacos. It's a great spot. Then they have the spot that I like to go to, the one north of Washington. That FM Kitchen and Bar is fantastic. It's got the huge outdoor area. It's got all the tables. You can bring the family. You can bring dogs. You can ride your bike in there. It's fantastic. Monitors everywhere. Great to watch Dynamo games. People were watching the Euros there. They watched the Dash there. I know there's a group that comes there to watch the Dash as well. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. Here's the best thing. They do craft cocktails, craft beer, and I mean good cocktails. Not dumping a bunch of liquor and some sweet juice. Real craft cocktails. Plus, they've got fresh, fresh food. FM Kitchen and Bar. And then I'm going to do a shout-out for my buddy Quinn at Cactus Records. Don't forget to check out our burning topics, which we put out on Twitter. And, you know, every time you like and you know, retweet these things, you're helping soccer stay on the radio. That's all I will tell you. So, and by the way, we will take all type of feedback on this show whenever you want to give it to me, and you know where to find me. All right, so we do have some winners for the Dash tickets. We'll get those tickets to you. They will come via email, there you go. All right, so it's time now. Houston Dynamo head coach Todd Ramos on a variety of topics. Just for full disclosure here, this interview took place earlier today. Tab, what are the challenges of playing against the San Jose Earthquakes?
Yeah, San Jose is a difficult one because, you know, there's one thing, there's one common denominator about what they do, and that's they work hard. You know, they're a team that'll make you work all over the field. You know, they get matched up on 1v1s. And they track their guys. So if our guys are going to get open, they're going to have to make an effort to get open and to make plays. And that we know. So that's the first challenge. Second challenge is, you know, attacking wise, you know, guys like Espinosa and Chofis, they have talent. You know, they can make things happen. And you know, Wando is still Wando. I mean, he hasn't changed. I think the last 5 years have been pretty much the same for him. And that's difficult. So on one side, you have a team that can score a lot. On the other side, you know, if we're able to take advantage at certain times, it's a team that can be vulnerable the other way. You know, it's a team that can give up goals going the other way. So we're going to try to do the best we can to match their intensity. And I think if we do that, we'll have some good opportunities to win the game.
Houston Dynamo head coach Todd Bramos joining us. Is this a game where individual one-on-one battles in some way might be slightly more accelerated? I know it's an essential part of every game, but because of the way San Jose plays?
I think it is. I think we have to be willing to make efforts without the ball. If we can make efforts without the ball in this game, I think we'll have good opportunities for winning the game. If our effort without the ball is not good enough, I think we'll play right into their hands and it'll be extremely difficult.
Obviously, you must be happy about the defending side of things. Vancouver doesn't get a shot on goal. It looks really stable. There's an intimidating factor at the back here now. It really seems to be kind of coming together to the way you have thought of building this team from the back out. Just a comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it, so far, obviously, we've only had Teenage here for a couple of weeks. He's only played, you know, against the game we just played against Vancouver. It was his first game in a couple months, and that's, you know, that's definitely not easy. And so we do expect some ups and downs from him as he adapts to the league. But I think he's made us a lot better, and he's made everyone around him a lot more confident. And I think that has helped the team tremendously. I think, you know, just by having him there, we've solved a lot of the issues that we've had in the back.
Really protected Marco Maric quite well in the last game. That side of it looks very good now. What about unleashing a little bit more in attack and getting that going a little bit? How do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, going into attack was something that has not been a problem for us for the last year and a half. So I'd hate to think that now, because we're getting better in the back, that all of a sudden we're not going to be as good up front. So, but we do have to realize we didn't score a goal the last two games, which is really unusual for us. So we have to turn it around, and we have to turn it around quickly. And I think we will, because we definitely have, we do have some firepower even without the guys who aren't here.
Does that come with supporting Maxi Arruti and Fafa a little bit more out of midfield? I mean, is that an issue for you?
For sure. I think we need to think about maybe how we play this week, because we need to get into the box from midfield a lot more than we have been doing.
Tab, San Jose, the road, it's always a bit of a challenge. Are you expecting individuals to come up with a few more plays here to get you over the top here? Because, you know, look, you're not losing, but on the other hand, you're not winning either, and a lot of points are being left on the table. I've heard you say this. How do you get over the top in addition to that support out of midfield? Is it a mental thing? What do you think it is?
Well, I mean, first of all, I personally don't feel any frustration over results at this point. I think that the team is competing. I think we're putting ourselves in position to win just about every game that we play. And there's no question that, you know, with an individual play here or there, things change. You know, I watched the Portland game yesterday, and it's a game that probably LAFC should have won, but yet in one play in the end, you know, there's a cross of a ball and then there's a great header and now they win the game. And we, every once in a while, we need to make those plays. We haven't been making them, but I don't put the responsibility on any individual player. I think, you know, all I can focus on as a coach is to make sure that the team is in position to win the game. And then at times we're going to win, and at times we're not going to win.
Todd Bramos, Houston Dynamo head coach, joining us. And I know you've referenced this before, getting another attacking piece. Is this something that's being talked about in the future with new ownership and Ted Siegel?
There's no question. We feel happy about the fact that we are supported by new ownership, and that things are going to change. And that support is going to come by way of many things, you know, from facilities to players to everything else in between. And I think the new ownership group is very supportive of that, and we're happy about that. But now, you know, there's a short term. There's a window that closes on August 5th. We're going to do the best we can to potentially add at least a piece before then, if we can. But you know, in terms of looking more into the future, I think that's something that's going to require a little bit more planning than just going out and splurging you know, money on players just in, you know, in the next week and a half, just for the sake of doing that. I think we have to be careful with that if we really care about the future of the club.
Do you and Matt Jordan have, you know, a list of potentials that you guys have on your wish list when it comes to attacking players?
We do. Yeah. There's a list of probably, probably about 20 players that we've been looking at the moment for short term and for long term. But again, I think the biggest issue now is we have to realize that the window closes August 5th. And we just got started with a new ownership group. And with, you know, if you consider all of the issues that come with getting visas and players out of countries and with COVID getting them into this country, you know, it's not easy at the moment to make big moves. But we're working on a lot of different things.
Tab, thank you for the information. I know the fan base is going to like it. Also, best of luck against San Jose. And as always, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So that was Tab Ramos earlier today ahead of the Dynamo at San Jose. Some really interesting stuff in there for Dynamo fans. Quick word here for Advantage BMW Midtown. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased. I've bought from Advantage. I love the drive of the vehicle. It's like no other. I've had a 3, a 5 series. Now I've graduated to the X5. It's the ultimate driving machine. Get down to Advantage BMW Midtown. Ask for Justin or Steven. And they will get you covered through sales, service, finance, and it can be done really easy. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. Also, a big thank you, as always, to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com in Houston, DaspitLawAustin.com in Austin, Texas. When we come back, we visit with El Salvador head coach Hugo Perez.
HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. The Gold Cup quarterfinals, as mentioned, are set Saturday, Qatar and El Salvador, Mexico and Honduras. That's out in Glendale, Arizona. And then Sunday, in Arlington, Texas, at AT&T Stadium, it's Costa Rica and Canada, U.S., Jamaica. It is the Gold Cup quarterfinals. And it's been a very interesting Gold Cup because one of the teams that really has turned heads is El Salvador. El Salvador is coached by former U.S. international Hugo Perez. And Hugo Perez has gotten results over Guatemala, Trinidad and Tobago, turned a lot of heads in that 1-0 loss to Mexico in their performance in the second half. Here is my interview today, earlier, with Hugo Perez ahead of Qatar and El Salvador.
Well, Hugo, let's just get your overall thoughts here on the group play and where you're sitting right now heading into the quarterfinals, because it really, it's turned a lot of heads. I mean, El Salvador and you have become one of the big stories of this Gold Cup.
Well, first of all, I thank God because I got the opportunity to come here with the team. I just got the team about 2 months ago. As you know, the coach who was here came to an agreement with the federation. He didn't want to continue. So I was coaching the under-23 national team for the Olympics. And the idea basically was to take over after the this World Cup and focus on 2026, especially with the under-23s and down. But it happened that somehow the old coach didn't want to stay anymore. And I was there for about, I think, 3 months. When everything finished with the under-23, I got an emergency call from the president. And he flew to San Francisco, where I live, and asked me if I was interested in helping him with the senior national team, because it was important for them to get to the octagonal. At that time, they still had to qualify for it. And that's what happened. Everything went so fast. I moved quickly about, I think it was at the beginning of April, second week of April, something like that. And then I started working with the senior national team. And it was, it's been difficult in the sense that when you don't have a lot of time, and I had to change a lot of players, brand new players, but new American players that play here now that were parents from El Salvador. And then when we got here, obviously nobody gave us a chance. That's the reality. But it's been, again, I thank God because it's been good in the sense that the team has come together. They're accepting the idea of the changes we want to make on the football side and the administration side. And that's helped us a lot. So now we're through to the second round and we play Qatar this Saturday, which is going to be a tough game. We played them already in Croatia. We lost 1-0 to them. But I think it's one of the best teams right now. Tactically, very well organized. They have four or five players that make the difference. Their coach is from Spain. Well, very good coach. I mean, he's been there since the youth with them. So it's going to be a tough game. But, you know, we're also taking this tournament as a preparation for the octagonal. As you know, we open up against the U.S., September the 2nd. So, but, you know, again, I thank God because it's been very good up to now. We just got to continue to work hard and see what happens on Saturday.
El Salvador head coach Hugo Perez joining us. You know, you get into the job so quickly. What's the first thing you try to do? Because I understand what I'm listening to, that you are trying to change a culture, a mentality, so that it can also be a long-term effect as well.
Yeah, what I did with the senior team was we changed players according to what we wanted to do as far as how we wanted to work and go forward with the program. Our league in El Salvador is not that strong. I was there with the Olympic team in January and I went to see a lot of matches and I got to know some of the players that were playing with the senior national team because we used to train together with the under 23 at the complex. And then the other thing was that I started contacting people here in the U.S. about players that could give us the opportunity to if they wanted to play for us. And also the national team got a new person. His name is Diego Enriquez, who became the first technical sporting director of the national team. So with him, we put together a plan and we started implementing that. Bringing new players from outside, getting new faces on the national team from the national side in El Salvador. And, you know, the most difficult thing is to change a style and culture of football. The only advantage I had is that I'm from El Salvador, so I know them very well. And my last 2 years, about 25 years ago, I finished my career there. So that's helped a little bit. But I know we have a long way. I mean, we haven't qualified for the World Cup almost 40 years. And, you know, our issues of the field have been terrible. And we're trying to change the image of the national team. We're trying to change the image of our players. And we're trying to change the image of a federation. But, you know, again, but it's been great because coming here, nobody expected us to go through to the second round. So that's been helpful for the program. You know, we started to get sponsors now that want to help us in the national team program. And, you know, there's calls from players outside El Salvador that want to see if we can look at them and all that. So I think going forward, God willing, it's going to get much better.
Hugo Perez joining us, head coach of El Salvador, 2-0 win over Guatemala, 2-0 win over Trinidad and Tobago. And honestly, maybe the 1-0 loss to Mexico, the way you played in the second half, really continued to impress people. Ugo, let's get specific to Qatar now and what it is you're going to want out of your team against Qatar.
Well, we played them in Croatia, and I think we were not in the final third. I think we lacked offense, and we ended up losing 1-0. It's a team that plays on a 5-3-2 system, but they're very, very tactically trained. They know well that system. They have about four or five players, excuse me, that are very, how can I say it, not only technical, but explosive, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's a team that, in transition from defense to offense, they're very, very fast, very poised, and they can make things happen. So it's going to be a tough game for us. But we need to basically play our game, which has been possession-orientated, trying to attack, be more, I think, more careful in the transitional game from offense to defense. But it's for me, it's one of the best national teams right now here in this tournament.
Ugo, am I hearing you say that it's going to be very important for you to have good possession in order to control the game so it doesn't turn into a transitional up-and-down game, which might favor Qatar?
Yeah, because, their style, they're more of a counterattack team. They possess, but they don't mess around too much. I mean, it's 1-2-3 passes, and they're going forward. So I think that's where we need to try to maintain our style, try to keep the ball more, move the ball quickly, create spaces, and, you know, try to what we lacked in the last game we played against them was the 1v1 going at them. So we're going to have to do that in order for us to have a chance to beat them.
El Salvador head coach Ugo Perez joining us ahead of the quarterfinals. They take on Qatar. That second where the ball is lost and you lose possession, those couple of seconds, I imagine, are going to be very important for your players. They're going to have to be very quick thinking in those moments against Qatar.
Yeah, they are, because, again, if you leave them space to receive, turn, and go, they explode basically the space. That's what they like. So we have to be very compact, the three lines, whether we're going forward or whether we're defending. That's the key. And there's a player that they have, number three. He plays as a center back, as a left back. I think that's one of the guys that everybody wants to sign in Europe. He's their key in offense also. Very good, left-footed, quick, fast, strong. So we need to be on alert with him.
Ugo Perez joining us, head coach of El Salvador. They've had a great run in this Gold Cup. Darwin Seren plays in Houston, where this radio show originates from. Tell us a little bit about Darwin, how he's helped your team, and what he means to you as the coach.
I think he's been a great help because, obviously, the level where he plays is better than our league. And then also, he's one of the veterans, let's put it that way, from our team. We have a pretty young team. I think we have about three or four players that are over 30, and the rest of our under 30, so he gives us experience. He's been one of the more consistent players in the national team for years. So he's been a great help. Obviously, this new way of playing and system, you know, he's taking it very well. I think in Houston, Tab plays kind of similar style, so he hasn't been an issue with him coming in.
Ugo Perez ahead of their Gold Cup match against Qatar. And this is the last one. I'll leave you with this one. Ugo, do you think in the future you could be the fire starter? In other words, that person, and they've tried it before, other people have tried it, that can really do something big, get investment, try to, you know, improve player development in El Salvador, try and improve your first division. Is that something that's in your mind now, even though you're in the midst of this competition with the Gold Cup? Or is that something that you deal with at a later date? But are you thinking visionary right now in El Salvador? Because it is such a passionate soccer country.
No, we are. I think I've already presented a program where we're going to start working with our youth national teams. We're going to start working with clubs over there in order to develop players, in order for them to know and train players. You know, we're going to be conducting training centers all over the country, coaching education. That's part of the package that I presented to the Federation when I took the job. And obviously, that program is going to help them if I leave, for example. And we got to make sure it's stable. We got to make sure it's run properly. And also, right now the we're working with the under 18s, under 20s, under 15s. Okay. So, those are three, national team programs that we're going to be taking over also. And then obviously the second part of that will be here in the States, where we're going to come in to different states where you have a lot of Salvadorian people, where we can look at players and do training centers and see how, you know, what type of players they have and how many of those players can help us. I mean, we already have about 6 or 7 players that could be joining the under 18 national team already. Wow. That we discover here. So all that program is in progress right now. And once this thing, you know, the Gold Cup and then the qualifiers are passed, then we start looking into it for 2026.
It's a big project, but it makes a lot of sense. And with your youth background, I have to think this is a wonderful fit. How are you feeling with the love and the passion you're getting from the Salvadorian fans like we saw up in Dallas? Unbelievable.
Well, our fans have suffered for a lot of long time. They've been disappointed with not only results, but the way things have been handled with the Federation. So hopefully we can bring back a smile to them and see if we can give them some happiness. And I think it's going to take some time, but I think right now we're taking the step by step. We want to make sure our country feels proud of their national team, whether it's on the football side or whether it's on the outside administratively. That's our goal. So, you know, our people are passionate about football. Sometimes they're not patient, but, you know, they need to be educated for that. But as long as we start being transparent and doing what is right, I think they'll be happy with what we're doing.
Hugo, best of luck against Qatar. Thank you so much for your time, as always. We appreciate all your great insight, and we look forward to getting you on the show again, hopefully after a win over Qatar.
All right, Glenn. Take care, my friend.
Great Gold Cup conversation there, straight from the head coach of El Salvador. And we know how many great, passionate El Salvadorian soccer fans there are here in Houston, Texas. Spent a month down there doing coverage during the Central American and Caribbean games. And forever grateful to the people of El Salvador, who was so kind to me. Also, over the years, having played professionally against teams like Alianza, FAS, Firpo, and others. So El Salvador's got a great, great, passionate soccer fan base. All right, so that's good stuff from Hugo Perez, their head coach. Big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And, of course, John and his firm, they've presented this show for a number of years. They're personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you drive an 18-wheeler, you might work in a refinery, you might do construction. You got to have representation. You get it from the best. You get it from the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT, bilingual. Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. They're going to do the work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. They'll give you the representation you need. DaspitLaw.com in Houston, and in Austin, DaspitLawAustin.com. Call them in Houston at 713-322-HURT. Thank you, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break, a big second hour to come here as we continue the conversation.
If I can live through this, what comes next will be marvelous.
Looted Raid Rule.
You
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.